you get ready Saturday night for church? I do. And I look, and then all of a sudden the minute is there. The last thing I always say to Herb and Julianne is, I don't want to do it today. I don't want to go out there and do it one more time. It always seems to be so difficult. Our ego gets involved, you see. I come out here and do it. Now you know that's not true, don't you? I show up. We do it. The music does it. We form a collective consciousness. The liturgy today talks about commitment. And last week it points out that we talked about our daily task and the task we're born in life to bear, and that it could be done joyfully. And the task was our natural inclinations. And our task was to our family, to those God has given us, to our job, to where we are, to just being true to our life was our really holy calling, our holy task to be called into life. And today says to stay committed to where you have been called to. Now that you've spent a week trying to understand what your life is for, as we discussed it in the liturgy last week, we discussed this week the rededication once again to those commitments. The message in the liturgy to the Christian church is repent, but you never say that to metaphysicians. They feel that now they're metaphysical. They have nothing to repent about. They have karma, but they have nothing to repent about. Metaphysicians don't know that if you repent, you don't have to go through bad karma. So it becomes very difficult to have to reach into the fundamental past and say, if you do repent, you won't have to pay off this bad karma that you've been putting out. And to repent literally does get rid of bad karma. If we understand what that means in the terms of metaphysics, it means to rededicate ourselves, to stop our stinking thinking, to straighten out our emotions, our bitterness, and to practice the laws of metaphysics. That is, to bring our minds back together into righteousness, into higher consciousness. So I ask you today, as you spend this hour in song and celebration with each other, as you sit next to each other, to give each other that kind of feeling that may this hour cause us to repent. I mean within our mind, to straighten out our truths, to straighten out. Every time someone says to me, repent, what I always hear back is, examine your motivation. And what repent says is go back and examine the motivation of what you're doing, why you're trying to do it, who it is serving. Is it serving your ego? Is it serving your physical? Is it serving your spiritual? Is it out of balance? So to repent is to go back and to straighten out one's motivation, to become pure with oneself again. Talk about purity. I fooled you. I dressed in blue today. She thought I'd be all dressed in red. Yes, that's a Gemini. You're an astrologer. I'm a Gemini. You can never count on me. Well, you'll never have a dull moment living with me.
Oh, let our love be a light unto the people. Let our voices unite in a happy song. Let our hearts be a haven for the weary, heavy laden, and we lay that devil down where he belongs. Hey there, everybody, come along. Oh, everybody, sing my song. Sing a little song of love and laughter, singing of a happy ever after. Everybody's got to come and sing it along. Hey there, sister, come and follow me. Hey there, mister, let your mind be free. There ain't no time for doubt and fear. Let your light shine bright and clear, and hold it high for all the world to see. And let our love be a light unto the people. Let our voices unite in a happy song. Let our hearts be a haven for the weary, heavy laden, and we'll lay that devil down where he belongs. Oh, mister, don't just stand and stare. Isn't that your brother lying there? Got no time for foolish pride. Don't let your feelings stay inside. Now's the time to show you really care. Hey there, look around you, can't you see? This world's too full of apathy. And if we're to unlock that door, peace on earth forevermore, you got to let your love act as the key. And let our love be a light unto the people. Let our voices unite in a happy song. Let our hearts be a haven for the weary, heavy laden, and we'll lay that devil down where he belongs.
Sing.
Oh, let our love be a light unto the people. Let our voices unite in a happy song. Let our hearts be a haven for the weary, heavy laden, and we'll lay that devil down where he belongs. Yes, we lay that devil down where he belongs. Yes, we lay that devil down where he belongs.
You are.
This might be a little heavier than you want to handle, but I always find in the heaviness lots of light. When something's really heavy, it's because you feel it getting underneath you and lifting you up. When we know that people in the church are ill, if they communicate to the church, it's usually brought to our attention. And I keep phone numbers of some of the people in this church who are ill. One of the ladies of the church dying of terminal cancer. I don't like talking to her too much because she says things that I taught her that she's really living on that I haven't thought twice about. I just said them so easily. And she told me while I was talking on the telephone, she says, you know, if the only thing you have to take with you is your consciousness, then you better straighten the mess up while you're right here so you have something to take over with you. And I said, Gracie, that's really it. You know, you straighten out your consciousness. She's spending a lot of time making peace with herself during cancer, and I've never found a cancer patient that doesn't, or anyone critically ill. Then I talked to Maisel. Any of you remember Maisel? She was in tears when we called because she's in so much pain, and she thinks that she's forgotten because she hasn't been here. She doesn't hear from people, and her husband's crying saying, Damien, you're worth your weight in gold for calling because it lifted her spirits. And I said, well, why don't you sit and hold her hand right about now, because I'm going out to church, and we're going to sing a song, and we're going to send it to you. And in the song, if you heard Franz Nguyen, the actress who studied with the French mystic Richard, if you heard her talk about, she creates a sound to open her heart chakra. Then as the sound is resonating through her body and through her heart, she puts her hands on someone's to heal them. One of the most beautiful things of this church, and I'll tell you, if you belong to it, someday you'll need it, and someday you'll feel the comfort of it, is when you call this church and you make them aware of the fact that you need help, that you need the thought, the power of people's thought and the power of people's prayer behind you. Not just metaphysics, one psychic working for another person on an individual level. Here's where group consciousness begins to bring into fruition this power that we're talking about. I know the power. In the scripture that I read Friday, I was working with a class that said, in the scripture it told him to go heal, cast out devils, raise the dead. I don't see anybody doing that. He told him to go do what he did. I have no one known who'd raise the dead, or to heal, or to stretch out their hand, or to cast out demons, which to me is possession by your own obsessions, becomes the demon of self. I think that this hasn't happened because every minister I've ever dealt with, including myself, has an incredible ego that they think they are God's spokesman. Therefore, they spend their time trying to grunt and heal and teach as an individual. And what they do at best, and I've interviewed enough psychics to know, they burn out their batteries. They just burn their batteries out. Their lives are a wreck because they're drawing from their own energy source. But if you can bring together a collective energy source, and you say, I will raise the dead. Let us make man in our image and likeness. So whatever we say, us together, becomes the power of two or three gathered together. I would like then to tap into the power of this church. It's like the electricity out there. It's far greater than what's coming into this building. There's a transformer to block the energy so it'll conduct it. I'd like to remove the transformer. This woman needs a spiritual shock. She needs something to waken her. And I say, then let me use the electrodes of my hands and my mind and my eyes and my ears, my nostrils, everything to sense and feel her. And let me transmit this whole energy to Maisel and know that there is a purpose and there is a reason for going to church. It's putting love and letting our light go unto the people. So if you know Maisel, hold her in your mind. If you don't, just send it to my mind. I see her ever so clearly. This song says it. You are.
Sometimes I try to count the ways and reasons that I love you, but I can never seem to count that far. I love you in a million ways, and for a million reasons, but more than this, I love you. What makes me happy? You are my everything. You are my daily sunshine. You are my evening star. Everything I'd ever need. That's what you are. Everything I'd ever need for mine, that's what you are. You're in my thoughts when I'm awake. You're my dreams when I'm asleep. You are the reason for my smiles. You are the words I speak. Now every role I play in life, you play the leading part. Everything I'd ever need or want, that's what you are. Everything I'd ever hope to find, that's what you are. You are my inspiration. You are song I sing. You are what makes me happy. You are my everything. You are my daily sunshine. You are my evening star. Everything I'll ever need or want,
that's what you are. Everything I'll ever need, all mine, that's what you are. You are my inspiration, you are.
Y'all doing? Would you like to take this opportunity to turn around, see who's around and about you, and give them your best smile? What do you mean, do you want to get warmer? Who said that? Sometimes I'd like to take a whole hour just to stare. Ruby sings a song, The Magic of All of You. There were about 5 calls to this church this morning to find out if I was going to be here. Well, people were trying to make up their mind. No, 3 were calling to see before they came. 2 ask after they came whether I was going to be here. The 2 that ask after they were here, I really admire. Because maybe they know that it is the presence and the keeping with the spirit that counts, not to get it involved with my personality. There's people in the church who really love me. There's just no question about it. And there's people in the church that I fascinate, but they don't like me at all. But for some reason, they keep coming back. I keep looking at them, and they keep looking at me, and like neither one of us is going to change. And they act like, well, there's something good about him, and maybe he'll change. Well, I doubt it. I wouldn't count on it. We have an expression in this church, I love you as you are. To those that know that it is not I that stands, but it is a spirit, because this is the house of God, and you must go beyond that which is physical. And the minister is supposed to represent in a special time of consciousness for people, as maybe the kahuna high priest would do, or the shaman of the Indian tribe, or in any of the tribes that they found. As I told you recently this week on the news, it was reported that the army in India has found a whole tribe of people that are living in caves. They were undiscovered up till now. They have no clothes. They live a very happy life, but they haven't even discovered fire yet. And while you're driving in your cars and cooking in your radar ranges and turning on your lights and your showers, there's a people living on this planet, believe it or not.
a shah, a king. You didn't even know who the shah was of Iran 10 years ago. You didn't even know what Iran was 10 years ago. 20 years ago, it was a faraway fairy tale to think of an Iran and shawls and palaces of the Eastern world. Well, telecommunications alone has made this world a very small planet, and a shah, once unheard of outside of his own kingdom, couldn't find a place to hide on this planet. And yet there was a tribe that has managed to hide all this time their identity. So I guess we will go in and ruin everything they have going for them, because we think, my God, let's get them blankets and food, and let's teach them how to have fire. So once we teach them how to create a fire, we can sell them fireplaces, then we can sell them electric, then we can sell them gas and knives and pots and pans and china, and there's all kinds of potential. Why, these people are a market yet unexplored. And maybe they're wearing gold or beads that are very precious. So let's go in and give them Jesus and all that missionary stuff and save them. And I'd kind of like to say, God, I didn't know something like that still exists. I'd like to give up my robe and go join them and play dumb about these things and maybe protect them from this great thing called civilization that only makes you compare yourself to everyone else. I don't know who you compare yourself to, but every once in a while, you know who I compare myself to. Who do I compare myself to? When I look at envy, who do I always tell you about? Schuler, you got it. See how well you know me? Now, isn't it nice that you know where my sins lie? And I know where yours lie. And when I don't know where your sins are, it's because you're usually lying to me. So I don't know where they lie. I always think of Dr. Schuller and his huge, gorgeous crystal cathedral and 10,000 people in services. And I think, oh, God, how wonderful that must be. Why does God love him better than me? I work hard. I try to channel. I try to be honest. I try to tell the truth. I don't lie. I don't steal. I really dedicate myself to the service of God. Whether you think so or not, I don't care. I know I do. I've given my life for it. Why does he have a crystal cathedral and I can't put a roof on this building? Why? And I sit down and I figure it out. I've often said to you after I ask myself, but it doesn't leave me alone because maybe I have to need the constant reminder. You see, the liturgy today is talking about, you know your holy task, but then you become reluctant to perform your holy task. And that's what sets in. You enjoy your life until you all of a sudden you get reluctant about it. Like, I don't want to do it this way anymore. I've seen Dr. Schuller and I want his church, or I want the Founders Church, the Science of Mind Church up at Sixth and Berendo is suitable to me. Or there's a Methodist church that has a very small congregation with a huge 1,000 cathedral. We've used it several times for special services, seats 1,000 people. I'm meant for that. What is this? What is this? So I come reluctant at all to believe that as much as I've served God, that he gives a damn. Because science says we all agree there's a God. Science will agree to that now. They said what we won't agree with, that God cares about what's going on with us. And I jokingly said to my staff yesterday that was working with me, obviously God doesn't give a damn. He doesn't. I think that science is true. God doesn't care what happens to us. I hope God is beyond my pettiness. I hope he's beyond your pettiness. Now, play God for just a minute. Don't you get sick of some people you deal with and you just say, look, I've helped you so many times. You don't want to do anything but talk about it. You don't want to change. Now, you've got all the information. You know all the answers that's been told to you. What you're going to have to do is go out and continue to live until you've changed. I really believe that this is what's going on between God and man. I've always wondered as a minister, if he's so powerful and so almighty, why doesn't he ever show up for a service? Have you ever noticed God has never shown up for a service? He could zap down Abraham and go through walls and shake up Thomas who doubted him. He could get off crosses and get out of tombs and appear to Mary Magdalene. Why don't he ever show up at a service? Particularly when there's 10,000 people there, you think he'd come up and say, how nice all you to come in my honor. I've never heard him thank anybody for coming to church. Strange sermon, I know. I know. I mean, I admit it. But you didn't come here to hear normal, because you could have gone to Dr. Schuller and heard normal. They did?
Well. No, I'm an admirer of his. I really am. And you must have that because it lifts you. So then I say, now as I have to examine my reluctancy in my life, you must examine your reluctancy in your life. Sometimes you're reluctant to love the person you're married to. And this is a whole task. And I've seen people stood up here and cry while they got married and how they love each other. And then a year later they said, oh, I never really did love them. And I said, come on, it's only convenient for you right now to say I never loved them. That's a matter of convenience for you to say that right now. You did love them, and you better examine what's going on before you keep going around like a mad dog in a vicious circle. Well, now let me tell you about Dr. Schuller. And, how do I do this tactfully? Because I really like the man. I will not pay attention to people with money. I could care less. If you notice, my friends are usually in the unemployment line. They're bartenders, taxi cab drivers, gas station attendants, and secretaries. They're not in corporate officers of banks. I don't know someone who has $20 million who wouldn't miss giving me one. Dr. Schuller knows a lot of those people. I don't know anybody like that. Now, if I was a smart minister and I was after business, I wouldn't deal with most of you. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough talent. Therefore, if you want a really successful church, as far as the physical levels of life are concerned, you start singling out. I would pick out 10 of the wealthiest people in this church, and I would advocate a friendship with theirs and encourage them to bring their friends. But see, what happens is, I make a friendship with Cindy, who's unemployed right now, unless she found a bakery, which I want to buy her. Pip, who's unemployed right now, is a friend of mine. He works for the school district. He said he wasn't working for them. Mark is a hairdresser. Maybe he's got more money than the rest of us know about. These are the friends. So when I befriend this level of consciousness, what do they go out and do? But they bring me their friends who are usually on the same level of consciousness they are and always in the same economic bracket that they are, because consciousness and economic bracket go hand in hand in hand. Does anybody know what I'm getting at? I keep dealing with the people I like rather than the people that could do something for me. I've gone through the church and ripped up big checks rather than deposit them and then take them out to dinner. I know somebody who calls, they call my office, it happens all the time. I know you're in trouble financially and I have a $10,000 check, and if you'll meet me at such and such a restaurant Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, I'll be glad to give you the check. And I said, no, I will not do that. If you want to send a check to this organization, you send a check to this organization, but you're not having me appear at dinner anywhere Tuesday night for a check. Now, the best thing you can do is send a check to the organization, then call some night, invite me out to dinner, and I'll tell you whether I'd like to go with you or not. Well, you don't do that. Or do you? You see, I hate myself. I'm reluctant to be who I am, because I love Cindy, I love Lori Kay, but she makes $1,700 a month, I heard. God, that's more than I make, and she doesn't do anything. She goes on a job where she works for UMS. Her desk is loaded with UMS stationery. She makes $1,700 a month. I said, God, I'd like to make $1,700 a month in a job. I could think I get $550 here, you know. I don't think Dr. Schuller's paid $550 a month. So I become reluctant. I become reluctant about this whole thing that I'm doing. Get the point that I'm trying to get out in my life, in your life, I'm the one who's doing it that way. Do you understand? And you're bound to face the reluctancy. You're bound to question your values. And every time you become reluctant to do something, you are beginning to question your values. And be very careful, because reluctancy can do you in. Because I can be reluctant to serve what I love. When I give communion in this church, which will be started again since our vessels have been returned by whoever stole them. I don't understand that. Yeah, they were all returned. See the white angels? They were stolen off the altar. The communion cup's been stolen twice. And they keep dropping in the master Donato from over here on 7th Street, that place that calls itself a church. I guess it is to those who go there, but anyone that messes with your altar and your sacred instruments and everything, I just don't understand all this, because God told him to. You know, I talked to God this morning. He liked the chalice. He didn't tell me he didn't like it. He told you to go take the church's chalice because God didn't like it.
Metaphysics goes bananas at times. I believe in all this stuff, but I don't believe in all this stuff. You know, I don't believe in all that stuff. Now, if I examine my life, I realize that I have exchanged a crystal cathedral for a country church because to me, the value of the people I'm dealing with seems to be important to me. I think Don can tell you, if I don't like you, and I am not for sale, and a lot of people say, how could you not like me? I like you. And I say, no, I like everybody who likes me. If I don't like you, you don't like me. I could not possibly like you and you like me. Now let's straighten this whole thing out because I believe a little more in psychic energy than that. It is not possible for me not to like someone who really liked me. It is possible for me not to like someone who'd like to get to know me because. Like, I often had to question my mind about my very close friendship with Linda Day George, because she's an actress and can do great things for me. We talked together about her and I doing a new series for television together and everything else. And I have to conscience myself, do I like her because she's an actress? Or she an actress because I like her? What is it with me? And I had to continually examine the quality and the reasoning for that friendship that exists between her. Now, a lot of people like me because, as small as this church may seem to be, and I don't understand it, but some people think to be my best friend makes them big cheese. It's a big fish in a little pond, honey. Look, there's only a couple hundred people in here. This is nothing to sell your life over. If you're going to act this way, go down the Schuler and sell your life over to him because you can get 10,000 people rather than 1,000 people. Right? So if you're selling, this is not the place to sell. If you're buying, this is the place to be. If you're buying, not selling. So it comes down to the point, and sometimes I feel maybe I am not being fair to you because I don't pull out the resources that we have. But to pull out the resources we have means I'd be having dinner and conferences with a lot of people I wouldn't normally deal with, who want to deal with me because they like being the power behind the power. These are all kinds of ego trips that people go on. And when you like someone, you have to wonder if you're dealing with their ego. Are you there to boost up their ego? Are you there to deflate? What is going on with the ego with people? It becomes very difficult along the path to simply follow your heart. Let your heart. As when you were singing that song, You Are, have you ever let sound go through the heart chakra and out you before? Good sound. The ohm is a good sound. Songs of praise, it says, you shall praise the Lord. Why should you praise the Lord? Because he needs it? If the Lord is the Lord, he doesn't need your praise. If the Lord is the Lord, what was in him, he must be self-sufficient. Hopefully, God does not have a self-worth problem. Hopefully. I mean, the way the church presents God, that he cannot be happy unless every one of us get together at least once a week and tell him how wonderful he is. And if you don't take it together every Sunday morning and tell God how wonderful he is, by come Monday, he will be so pissed at this whole universe because his happiness depends on you telling him how wonderful he is. Now, that's stupid. That can't be God. So I can't accept that. So I think God is withdrawn from us because he said, look, I have given you all the prophets and you have killed them. I have sent you the firstborn of my spirit. The firstborn, like the first really good idea that you ever had that manifested on an esoteric level. I have sent even my son before you to tell you about loving each other, that what you sow, you shall reap, what you judge, that judgment shall be upon you. Wherever your consciousness is, you shall be also. Whatever you bind on this earth will be bound in heaven. Whoever you get rid of in this earth will not be with you in heaven. This I have given you. Now look, work it out. And when you're ready to take your last breath, I'll be right here waiting for you. And will you please tell me what it is you have decided to do or who it is you have decided to become? The minute you tell me who you are, I will be very happy to let you into heaven because then I can tell you really where to go. The minute you tell me who you are, the minute you know who you are, cosmic consciousness is yours. The minute you know who you are and what you really feel and what you really think, the tongue of fire, the intelligence of Buddha, the wisdom of the spirit is yours. Once you know who you are, you know how to be. So God withdraws himself. And you say, oh, God, help Maisel. And God's saying, oh, come on, you're not going to do that number on me again. What do you mean, help Maisel? Maisel's your friend. Who wrote her last? Who called her last? She sat in this church with her husband. so delightful, and how proud she'd sit here with her son. God said, why should I help her? You have the power to help her. You don't feel that she's worthy to help, and yet you want me to help her. You want to help Basil? You want? Do it. Do it. That means you go get her a greeting card, you call her up, you send her some flowers, and let her know at her darkest moments of pain she's not alone, and the more mindful she is of you, the less mindful she'll be of her pain. So you know what healing comes from? Healing comes from caring for someone so great that you're able to take their mind off their pain. Not that the pain no longer exists. You increase their tolerance for that pain because you've increased the acceptance and the love and the energy fields around and about them. Science says that every disease known to man lies within your body. In some of you, it's not active because your bodies are strong enough to fight it off. And I think when we're no longer strong, when we're weak and when we're sick, it's because we're in doubt. Who really cares for us? Then we send flowers to show we care and we visit the sick. And the more the sick it is visited and the more you show you care, the better they get. True or false? So God's saying, come on, then practice your metaphysics. Then physicians, heal thyself. I, the Lord God, have spoken unto you and sent my prophets before your face. Why do you not believe them? Why do you not repent of your ways? Why do you not change your ways? And I think that's what the liturgy of the Christian church is shouting when it says repent. You know better. Why won't you act better? And we always think of Christians repenting and being saved from this and being saved from that. But no metaphysician that I've ever heard of has ever thought of repenting. And I'd like to put out a call this morning from the liturgy, from right the seat of Rome, ahead of all Christendom, right down to you, and say, metaphysicians, will you please repent? Will you please mend your ways? Will you please control your thinking? Will you please restore love into your heart? Not malice, not hate, not fear, not doubt. Will you practice the foundation of your religion? Christianity to me is the foundation for esoteric beliefs. Without this real strong foundation, without an understanding of the Ten Commandments, without an understanding and the fulfillment of everything Jesus said, you have no right to dream on past that point of understanding. But once you have that understanding, then life can give you a dream. It is supplied to you. And when you are given a dream by spirit, you're always given the ways to accomplish that dream. I look at young people in the church and I wonder what they think, because it's not cool to be true to your spirit. I mean, so much today, man, you go out and get a little grass just to show everybody you're cool so you can be invited to the parties. When I was a kid, as I told you from this pulpit before, maybe I'm aging myself, but if you stuck your tongue in a girl's mouth, she became pregnant. She did. But you just stuck your... I know, that shocked you, didn't it? I know. You see how the little girl just looked at me and went, huh? Listen, I'll tell you one better than that. We also believed if you let a male and female dog get in the sun together, she'd get pregnant. If they both got in the sun together, side by side. And I remember going on the hay rides the first time I stuck my tongue in Mary Lou Van Horn's mouth, and she said to me, what do I do if I get pregnant? And I said, I'll love you anyway. I remember that. There's a reason for this. Now, I'm not just being crude or trying to be funny. If you were in the same circumstance today, is your earring on the left or the right side? Are you punk? Are you new wave? Are you rock and roll? Are you John Lennon? Do you smoke grass? Do you drop acid? Are you on Quaaludes? Do you drink? Are you a vegetarian? I mean, all these things are considered. So all of a sudden, if you want to be a part of what's happening, you got to do this and chop off this and paint that and get hip with your Quaaludes and everything. And all of a sudden, you're appeasing something that you really can never, never, never fit into. It's all right. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot have a natural inclination towards these things, but it better be natural rather than absorbed or learned or put upon you in order to fit into some consciousness that is not a part of you. You had to dress yourself, adorn yourself, train yourself, and find all these things and learn them so you could belong, so you could fit in. If you go by what's natural, you never have to learn anything. You're fitting in with where you are. And some people say, but it's a little lonely. I used to think that was a little lonely until I found out, my God, that's called solitude and peace. Spare me from all these trips and all these confusions. One thing as a minister, you get to hear it all. Every emotional disturbance, every physical, spiritual disturbance that people have, they must tell you. Well, the difficulty is after you've been a minister for 15 years, you get sick of it because it's the same problems. It's the same emotions. It's the same story. It's the same stupidity. And now you've gotten smart enough after you hear it so many times, you can tell what the next statement is coming. You can see who's doing what with who and what's going on. And you know, there's nothing you're going to say that's going to change it. It's nothing Jesus said that's going to change it. Nothing Buddha, nothing the Krishna, nothing they said is going to change it. Dribble by dribble is made. Maybe four or five people out of a lifetime, out of a whole church, might really understand. Jesus was so bold as he said, 144,000 shall be saved. And I thought, my God, that's terrible. How many are there in this city alone? Let's not count the world. I know in Australia there's 11 million people, and only 144,000 are going to make it. The longer I live, I think his estimate was very generous. Do you know where we can find? I remember Napoleon looked for 10 virgins, or what was it, for a wedding or something, couldn't find them in all of France. You don't know that story. Well, is that true? You don't know. Where on this planet will you find 144,000 people unconditionally loving each other, with no competition, no comparison, no bitterness, no hatred, no laws on anyone? Where are there 144,000 people of a pure consciousness that can inherit a kingdom set by a Christ consciousness that knows nothing else but the love of his fellow man and the support of his fellow man? Where do you find it? It's a very generous estimate. So as a minister, you go on as God, I guess. I admire God for his persistence. There is a writing that says persistence alone is omnipotent. And you say, well, maybe we haven't directly changed, but I know that I have improved. And maybe you can say to yourself, I have improved in this lifetime. I have grown in understanding. I have grown in wisdom. I do not leave the God of my youth. I cling to the God of my youth. I am a Roman Catholic. I will always be a Roman Catholic. And whether I'm a metaphysical, that's just how I feel about that word. When I'm a metaphysical minister, I'm in my coffin. I hope someone will place my rosary beads in my hand because I still keep them by my bedside. I still keep them in my bag. And any time I can't work anything out, I grab the rosary beads and I start. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. And I go into a... And you said, what good is he? What good is all this mumbling? And have you ever heard a... Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And it's going right through the heart while I'm holding a dream in my mind and saying... And when I'm doing my rosary, I have something in my mind that I can't work, and I let it rest there gently as I go through 10 Hail Marys, a glory be to the Father and our Father, and the beads mark it for me. And it's like going, Hare Krishna, Rama Krishna, how to, and just going into chant and letting the sound of your own desire, your own prayer, go through your heart and therefore release and exercise everything caught in the emotional system of yourself. I'll never give it up. I don't know what your background is. Some of you might sing Amazing Grace. I'm learning now to enjoy the plasmatics and the quarter horse and quarter flash. She's good. I couldn't get past the way they looked. But I found out if I lay on my couch and shut my eyes, they're great. So I lay on my eyes and I lay on my eyes. That's punk, all right. Or new wave. If I lay on my eyes and shut my couch, it's not half as bad. Then I open my couch and see what's going on.
On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When troubles surround us, when darkness the body grows weak, and the spirit grows numb. When these things be said, he doesn't forget us. He sends down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, he searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but he wasn't forgotten. He sent his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Ooh, when Jesus went down to the waters that day, he was baptized in the usual way. When it was done, God blessed his son. He sent down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. You sound good, sing.
On the wings of a snow.
I want you. Coming up in February, in fact, February 14th, since it's Valentine's and all that good stuff, right? We decided, let's have another dance. But the way to keep expenses way low so that everybody can go is to have a potluck dance. That makes good food and, you know, lots of variety, and it keeps the price down. So for Valentine's, which is on a Sunday this year, we've rented the little place around the corner again. And everybody, we're asking to bring potluck and your own linen and maybe a candelabra or two for the table, you know. Fix it up really fancy. Bring somebody you love or would like to love. And and from 3 o'clock that afternoon until, what, 7? 10. Okay. We're going to be dancing and partying and eating each other's food and having a nice time. Okay. So if you're interested in participating in this, see someone in the office. Damien wants to do a particular number, and I have to dig for it. So, Nikki, why don't you do something? I'll be back.
Digging for it. A lot of you have asked for crosses, and we didn't have a source to make those crosses. And you know, gold and silver, that's very expensive. But we now have beautiful crosses available in brushed, satin brush. This one is gold, and I believe the gold crosses are selling for $100. Can't help it. It's gold. It's 14 karat gold. And the silver is also beautiful, and I think that's 50. Is that true? So those of you who have been wanting a UMS cross, we do now have them, okay? The office takes Visa or MasterCharge or whatever that is, and save your pennies, okay? I did something.
Thank you. Hey, Damien has a retreat next week, and it's full, but he does them about every couple of months or so. And there are other people having retreats at the Double D Ranch, too. So if you're interested in going up, whether it's for a retreat or just to go up just to get out of the city and into the country for a day or two, then that's available, and you can see somebody in the office about that. You ready, Mary? Okay.
You're going through in a simple way. I love you when you're reaching out to me. I will be there when you need a friend. I'll help you be what you want to be. I hear your voice sing out, just let it go. I'll give you room to breathe and room to grow. Thank you.
in a simple way, I love you. That's all that I can do. I'll make music while you sing your song. I understand what you're going through. I'll be beside you, rain or shine. Love has many faces, and one of them is mine. In a simple way, I love you. That's all that I can do. I'll make music while you sing your song, while you do what you have to do. I'll be beside you, rain or shine. Love has many faces, and one of them.
I love him. I absolutely love him. You can take all the grown-ups and you can all go somewhere, leave me the kids. The kids in the kitchen are my favorite loves, right? And there's this little boy back there named Nicholas and his young parents who are here for the first time and said they enjoy it. When I see young people and children with beautiful, clean consciousness, it's really a very fulfilling thing to see family here. So I'm a great, great supporter of family, right? Go home and call a family member today. That'd be a nice thing. Get over your reluctance. Call your mother.
Sometimes it gets a little heavy there. You know what he was saying about the children, and I'm going to take time to be a mouthy minister.
That's two of us now.
I watch him every Sunday as he goes back with the kids. And to me, when he sits down with those children back there, really shows the love and where he's at. And a lot of us sometimes think he's cruel and mean.
A lot.
Ought to see him in this light as we see him from up here. Sometimes some of you have seen what I'm talking about. But anyhow, just a side I wanted to let you know about, in case he would never say it. Another thing I would like to say is I did have a surgery a while back, and this church has a power and a unity and a love that far is superior to any medication in any hospital. For you did not allow me one bit of pain from my surgery. None. You healed me. You've lifted me. There was an energy that flowed from here to me that I can only say thank you, nothing more. Today's gospel is taken from Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and they followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat. They were preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. And these are the words of the Holy Gospel.
drifting, but the clouds are lifting. Don't give up, you have somewhere to turn. I'll be your candle on the water, till every wave is warm and bright. My soul is there beside you. Let this candle guide you. Soon you'll see a golden stream of light. A cold and friendless tide has found you. Don't let the stormy darkness pull you down. I'll paint a ray of hope around you. Circling in the air, lighted by a prayer. I'll be your candle on the water. This flame inside of me will grow. Keep holding on, you'll make it. Here's my hand, so take it. Look for me reaching out to shore, as sure as rivers flow. I'll never let you go.
Your offering today is $413, for which we thank you. And to bring this service to conclusion, I would love to pray with you. The simplest prayer that I think we all can say, whether we're East or West or whatever, the Lord's Prayer is understood and known by everyone. We do a slight variation of it. We pause to understand the meaning of the prayer when we say, as we forgive those who trespassed against us. So we take a little time for that understanding. So if you will, let us pray for one another that we get over the reluctance of being who we really are and enjoy it. Our Father, which art the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily needs, and forgive us our trespasses, as we now forgive those who trespassed against us. And by thy light, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I think one of the greatest joys for me is Sunday morning, to be able to come to church not only as the minister, but as a part of this family and a part of this congregation. I am working extra days within the office. I've changed a lot of my schedule around because I want to work more closely with UMS once again. I'm asking you to help us grow strong and good this year, not by publicity or anything. We must only exist by word of mouth. We don't allow publicity on the television show or any other form concerning the church. The church is something that belongs to us and to the friends of our consciousness. I hope you will find this a place of spiritual growth for you, a place to make friends, and a place to bring your friends so that you may share with them an understanding of who and where you are. We'll be on the ranch next week. I will not be here next Sunday. You may save the phone call. But I think if you're not here next Sunday, you're missing something. The energy of when you get together is important. And with all of us on the ranch that will be on that retreat, we link up to you at that time, and we join you in ways that is incredible. Very rarely do I ask much of my friends, and you've never heard me ever ask you to come to church. If you've been gone for months, I don't question it. We don't believe that every Sunday, I need it every Sunday, but that's your decision whether you do or you don't. We want to increase our mailing list because there are some good things. We just did a book report when we interviewed Sun Bear, And then with their swift deer and eagle feather, and a lot of these Indians, American Indians now, are becoming more popular than East India, believe it or not. And within their religious beliefs that the white man has finally got over his prejudice is some of the most beautiful things concerning spirit that you would ever want to read or listen to that come out of man's heart. We're going to begin to publish some of these book reports in the bulletin. I want to change the bulletin. In the bulletin will be the liturgy. It'll sum up the four sermons of the month, and in the following month there'll be the liturgy that all churches are following, so that when you receive it through the mail, even if you're not here, you can stay in touch and you can still learn, you can still grow. I found out recently that our mailing list was integrated into something else beyond my understanding. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you can just fill out a card on your pew. There's a 3x5 card that should be there. And if you put it there, we'll send you the bulletins of who's going on, what's lecturing in the church, what the liturgy is, and some of the beautiful book reports that Dee Collins does for the television show. We'll be able to type them off now and send them to you in detail, okay? You can get those in a minute. For me, I really, from my heart, thank you for another Sunday. And I always keep one prayer. Lord, if I am in the state of grace, I pray you keep me there. If I am not in the state of grace, I pray you bring me there. May that prayer be one we always share in common and in love with each other. Are you ready?
Old needs all the help, all the prayer.